intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Welcome, everybody, to the PC Invasion podcast. Despite the Shadow Cabinet giving me a vote of no confidence, I am going to continue with the PC Invasion podcast. Hello, I'm Jeremy Corbyn. I'm joined unexpectedly by Idris Elba. Hello, Idris.
Are you... Hang on, does this mean that if you have the vote of no confidence, does that mean that I'm the Shadow Cabinet?
I guess. Well, Paul's not even here again, so...
Is that racist because I'm Idris Elba?
Oh, shit. We've done it again.
This Brexit thing is really...
it's a racial
really
minefield.
You, Peter. Never thought that you were one of those types.
I never thought that me, Jeremy Corbyn, man beloved by the people, despised by his party... We're one of those people, yeah. But
Idris Elba for Prime Minister, everybody.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Sure, I'm actually serious. Why not?
Quite frankly, I suspect he would be better than the majority of people out there. The majority of people currently lined up for the position.
Does he have an economic plan? If so, he's ahead of many, many people in the line. So...
If so, he's doing better than any of the other major political parties right now. I saw a post. I don't want to get too hung up on the Brexit thing because, you know, this is ostensibly a PC gaming podcast. I did see a wonderful post that likened Brexit to the plot of The Producers, where no one except for Nigel Farage actually wanted it to win. And now everyone is stuffed.
I think some people did want it to win, but, you know.
I mean the people like, you know, Boris Johnson and so on weren't actually expecting it to win and didn't want it to.
Well, he was doing it to negotiate for being Prime Minister, yeah.
Yes,
He's a shrewd political operator, is Boris Johnson. Looks like a buffoon, acts like a buffoon, is actually... Stalin.
Kind of a buffoon Stalin, then.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Chaplin's The Dictator.
Sure, yes. I don't know. Politics, everyone.
Basically, okay, if you've missed all of this, the short version is the UK is totally fucked.
Yeah.
And but quite possibly so is the EU.
Don't worry, because the UK is going to now... England, at least, is now going to unify around the hopelessness of its football team, and we're all going to be friends again. We can all agree that England are shit at major tournaments. It is known and shall forever be so.
It is known.
Yeah, not quite sure. I think I don't know. It's a football podcast now. I think England as a national football team are psychologically broken. I don't think it matters who you bring in as manager and who you cycle in as new players. I think they need extensive therapy rather than traditional coaching, and I'm serious about this. I think they have major psychological issues that have nothing to do with talent or footballing ability.
Do you think, and this is sort of bringing it back to PC gaming, now we were discussing yesterday about Dan Marshall's upcoming football game, Kickmen.
Kickmen, yes, we can talk about this.
Is it Behold the Kickmen? I'm not quite sure.
I'm not sure. He uses hashtag Kickmen, but that may just be a shortened...
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's like that there is an evil person from Brazil United who is telling them that they're going to cry in a puddle?
Yes. Well, I think in their minds they just assume that's what everyone back in England is like thinking, and then once they start dwelling on that, they mentally crumble. Because they were doing fine against Iceland, and then Iceland equalised, and they just started shitting the bed for like the next 80 minutes. It was just
we are
confidence evaporated instantly. It was incredible to watch.
We are, I say we, I'm, you know, actually Australian, but sure. That's neither here nor there. But we are, as a nation, extraordinarily bad at team sports.
I suppose so.
I mean, like pretty much every team sport. Like, we've got some decent tennis players.
The cricket team's all right at the moment.
Are they doing okay right now?
Yeah, no, they're pretty good at the moment. I mean, that might be partially because the Australian team are not so good at the moment, so it makes the England team look better in comparison. But they've won the Ashes a few times recently.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Our esports teams are fucking shite anyway. So.
is this what you're basing it on then, really? This is bringing it back to the PC?
That and football... and there was something else as well, but I can't remember what. It wasn't cricket.
Rugby? They're okay at rugby, aren't they?
Not too bad with rugby.
They've won the World Cup in rugby once. I mean, they have in football as well, obviously, but that was like fucking 50 years ago. So that's kind of a bit in the past.
Should we move on?
Let's move on. Well, we can talk about Kickmen some more. That does look like a good... It's going to be a good game.
That is a football game that I'm legitimately looking forward to, which is a sentence I never thought I would say.
We mentioned, wasn't it? It's Dan Marshall of Ben There, Dan That, and The Swindle.
Yes, thing. Size 5 games, also Privates and other all bits and pieces. From what I understand, this was a football game that he is essentially developing on a bet. It was like a Twitter joke that then turned into an actual game. It's someone who knows nothing about football making a football game.
Mm-hmm. Well, he knows enough to put players on a pitch, so he's got that part down. And there's a referee involved who will give.
The referee's called the umpire.
Ah, right.
And when you do a goal, it comes up and says, "Congratulations, you've done a goal." And then the umpire runs over and gives the scoring player a kiss on the cheek.
Just like real life. It's also, and as we mentioned, it has BioWare-style dialogue decisions, just like EA's FIFA 17 will have.
Yes. And I am willing to place money that I will enjoy Kickmen's dialogue a lot more than FIFA's.
Me too. The FIFA people said they talked to the BioWare people to get some help with the dialogue choices.
And
I thought, I'm not sure that's something you want to be advertising necessarily.
No, really, I wouldn't.
Or really something you need to do. I mean, you write football games. Surely you can figure out what football interview dialogue is like. It's not that hard.
I do look forward to Alex Hunter being able to romance his teammates.
Me too. I wanted to romance Jose Mourinho.
Yes, maybe that will be possible.
That's how you get picked. That's how you make it to the first team.
Well, you see, this is where I think that Kickmen is more authentic, because the Kickmen snippets of script we've seen actually mention like posh clubs and hookers, which, from what I know about football, is actually quite true.
Right. Whereas the FIFA 17 one is just going to be all bullshit sanitized because it's using the official licensing. So it's going to be like, oh, you've got to try really hard in training and whatever. Stay straight, fly right.
It's going to be like a really bad, cheesy version of Rocky.
Mm. How the Fight Night one was shit, wasn't it? The EA's Fight Night narrative mode.
That was bad. That also didn't help that it was like, it wasn't just sort of, oh, win a fight. It gave you all sorts of bullshit objectives and limitations and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried that the FIFA one's going to do that as well. It's going to be like, you have to score a hat-trick in this match. Well, okay, but sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes I can have a really good game and not score 3 goals, you know.
Well, Peter, that, you know, the story dictates that you score a hat-trick, so keep trying.
So I can't.
It's been ages since I played Fight Night, and I can't even remember what the hell the name of the Fight Night game with the... story was. It was the one after Fight Night Round 4, I think, and it was not Round 5. They gave it a different name instead. But yeah, I vaguely recall, and I might be totally misremembering this, but I vaguely recall that at one point you wind up in prison.
Well, that could be good for FIFA as
I can't remember whether it's manslaughter or whether you get framed or something like that, and then you take part in like bare-knuckle prison boxing.
Oh, right.
And you come out of prison, and because of all the working out in the prison yards and so on, you're no longer sort of lightweight, you're now heavyweight.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, that's not bad narrative reasoning for why you're in a different weight category, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they try to say, you need to get revenge for your brother, and there's a big evil boxer, and so on. Like, the ingredients were all there, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting major things from FIFA 17, as long as it's quite cheesy and silly, I'll be happy. There's some stuff happened with FIFA 16 this week, which I kind of want to talk about.
Posh clubs and hookers?
More that their Ultimate Team mode has weird bugs in it, which means it might have been broken for several years, which has interesting implications for all the people who spent shitloads of money on it.
Are people likely to have known about these bugs?
It's kind of something people have suspected. FIFA is a weird game. Like, people constantly think it has like scripting and handicapping and stuff in it, possibly erroneously in a lot of cases, but in this instance it seems like maybe they had a bit of a point. So basically, right, FIFA Ultimate Team is a game mode. It's their game mode that makes them a shitload of money. It's the one where you have player cards. You create a team based on player cards. When you
buy Hearthstone.
FIFA Hearthstone, yeah, exactly. When you buy the game, you get a team, set of cards for free, basically, but they're shit bronze ones. You can buy more cards with in-game money, or, of course, real money, which gives you packs to open, and then you get a bunch of random cards, and they're usually better than shitty bronze ones. The smart thing to do, though, is...
Are you guaranteed to get at least one that's better than bronze or something?
Yeah, the packs are the different types, and it says you will get at least two gold cards in this one, kind of thing. Anyway, so that's that. And the one feature of this is, in the game mode, if you have players in the team who are from the same nationality or the same league, they kind of have a better chemistry bond. And that gives them stat boosts and stuff. What someone found, a YouTube man going by the name of Righteous Onyx, I think is his name. So he found out that there is a step over move. It's not really important that you know what a step over skill move is, just know that it is a thing.
There's
one of these that you can only do if you have a dribbling stat of 86 or above. Okay, this is getting super nerdy. I know.
I'm sorry. It's just the use of the word dribbling.
Yeah. Anyway, that means there's a baseline at which you can test whether the chemistry boost is actually boosting your stats or not. Because if you have someone with 85 dribbling and a bunch of extra chemistry boosts, and you're still not able to do this step over thing, that means your dribbling stat is actually still at 85 rather than being boosted above 85.
Shit.
Yeah. So he ran some tests and he found that chemistry stuff is applied correctly to all the cards that were in the game at launch, but is not applied correctly to any of the extra ones they've added later, which is stuff like if a player's been transferred to a different club or he's played well in a week, he gets like a slightly better in-form card. And these ones are like rarer and more expensive and all of that stuff. So basically, the upshot is the basic bog-standard cards with the chemistry boost being applied correctly are in many cases better than the super expensive, super rare inform team of the week type cards, which is a pretty major deal for FIFA's biggest mode.
Yes,
and it kind of interestingly, we kind of don't know how long this has been going on for, and it might have been present in the mode since it was introduced about 9 years ago, which I find particularly hilarious. So today EA have said, oh, hey, we're looking into this, while shuffling their feet and possibly sweating profusely.
Of like the Labour Party.
Yeah, that's right. it's a big deal, and I don't know what's going to happen or what the upshot of this is going to be, because, like, conceivably, a great many people have wasted a great deal of money hunting down, like, special, rare, fancy cards, which actually are not being as good as you actually thought they were going to be. So there we go. Yeah. FIFA 16 news for you there.
Scandal.
Well, it's only
The second scandal to rock the football world.
It's only a scandal if EA knew about this and left it in as an intentional sort of handicap to make sure that people who buy the game late and maybe don't have such great cards can still compete against the people who've been buying all the special fancy ones. But there would be other ways of doing this. And, I mean, to me, it looks like a bug. It's kind of hilarious if it's a bug that's been there for about a decade. But I kind of suspect that, because I don't know how long the chemistry thing has been in there. I actually don't know if that's been in Ultimate Team the whole way through.
Is that like sort of FIFA Breaking Bad edition?
It's not, I'm afraid. It's just...
Oh, God, don't tell me it's like FIFA Mass Effect Romance Edition.
It's, you can call it that if you want. It's how much your players are friends with each other, because they're, like, from the same league.
Are we talking friends, or are we talking, you know, special friends?
There are very few openly gay footballers, which is sad, because the only reason for that is because they'd get a shitload of stick for it if they came out as gay, which is very unfair and wrong. Obviously, a lot of footballers clearly will be gay, because unless you feel that you only play football if you're heterosexual, which doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah, so that's, I mean, just going to be the case. Percentages, which kind of implies that.
Wow, we drifted back into, like, social politics. How did that happen? Anyway, so that's FIFA.
Did anything else happen this week? Because I have paid no attention to the news for like the past 7 days.
There was some stuff going on with G2A, the grey market key selling, key market hosting people.
Have they been made illegal yet?
No, they haven't been made illegal. I don't think they will be made illegal, Tim. I think that's unlikely to happen.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame. No, that was a studio called Tiny Build got the old credit card chargeback scam applied to them, where someone with fraudulent credit cards bought a shitload of their keys.
I know Tiny Build from somewhere. I know that studio name.
They did Speedrunners.
That might be where I'm going to go and check anyway. Sure. While you fill in this story.
Basically, someone bought a shitload of their keys with stolen credit cards, and then they noticed thousands of keys appearing on G2A's marketplace. And G2A firstly said, oh, it's probably your third-party distributors like Humble Bundle and stuff. It's probably them scamming you and selling the keys on there. So they checked with their distributors, and they went, no, it wasn't that, G2A. That's not what happened. So then G2A said, oh, well, it's your fault for having bad payment security. You should use our payment security system, the one we get money kickbacks from, instead. You should do that. And Tiny Build went, right, but how about all of the stolen keys that are on your marketplace, G2A? Should we maybe not be addressing this? And G2A went, well, okay, we'll put some new systems in place for our marketplace, and we'll maybe give some developers the ability to get some royalties on key sales and a few other things.
That's a massive step forward, actually.
It actually is, yeah. Like, depending how this is implemented, there are some of these changes. Some of these changes do look good. They do. They're very bad at acknowledging, and I get why, because it's not good for their reputation. But like, they never admit that there's like massive fraudulent stolen key selling going on their marketplace, which there blatantly is.
Yes.
Because this story has played out with multiple indie developers and larger publishers as well.
Ubisoft cancelled a shitload of keys and caused a massive furore over that, if I remember rightly. Because everyone thought they'd bought the keys legitimately. And it's like, no, you bought them on a grey market website. You probably shouldn't be too surprised when it turned out they were stolen keys were actually costing the devs money.
I think Ubisoft relented on that, though, didn't they? They restore them, because...
They restored all the ones that had been sold up until that point, I think, but they deactivated... The ones that hadn't yet been registered remained deactivated.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got this situation where G2A's PR is pretty slick, and they constantly trot out all this stuff about how they have amazing fraud protections and stuff. And it's just like, but clearly you don't. you obviously don't.
I mean, there's two main issues with it. The first being the kind of legal implications of how easy this makes money laundering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what shut down another online similar thing, if I remember rightly. I can't remember. It wasn't grey market keys, but it was another online service trading.
I was thinking of, like, because there's other grey marketplaces like Kinguin and stuff like that. Kinguin. Such a weird name.
It is. And the other issue is, I've heard a couple of developers actually say that they would prefer people pirate their games than buy them on G2A, because the stolen keys actually cost them money.
Yeah, whereas if you pirate it, that's at least not costing them anything.
That doesn't cost anybody anything, but buying a stolen key actually loses them money, because it's the cash has been charged back, essentially, and they have to pay a fee for it.
I mean, look, I'm not... I think having some sort of outlet for people to sell a key that, I don't know, they get free with a graphics card, or they have a key in a bundle that they want to sell to someone. I mean, all right, sure. Having a method of doing that is okay, but...
How do you verify this is the problem?
Right, yeah.
That's the huge problem. It is possible to verify keys to some extent, to find out where they came from, because I know a few people did that. They bought copies of their own games off of G2A and then checked to see where the keys were coming from. And I remember a fair few of them discovered that they were sort of the complimentary keys sent out to YouTube's
people. That happens constantly. YouTubers flogging their keys.
they can certainly check where the keys came from. Or at least they presumably can. I'm assuming it's possible with pretty much all of the keys via some algorithm rather than just checking your emails for specific keys. But
in this instance, I mean, because that was another thing, G2A were like, oh, look, Tiny Build, why don't you just tell us exactly which keys you reckon are stolen? And they were like, look, we had tens of thousands of them stolen. Technically we could cross-check all of these with all of our different, distribution bundles and stuff. But, like, we're a studio of two people or whatever. It's not really feasible. It's doable, but logistically and resource-wise, not likely in a lot of cases. I mean, Ubisoft can do it, I suppose. They've probably got enough interns that they can go, right, this is what you're doing this week, lads.
I should point out that Tiny Build appears to be a publisher rather than a developer.
Oh, right, okay.
They have quite a few games on Steam, actually.
I should probably revise some of my stories where I've called them a developer.
They may also be a developer. I'm mostly seeing them listed as a publisher, though.
Fair dues. Yes, they're probably both. I mean, much like Ubisoft, who are both.
Yes.
All right, good to clarify that. So anyway,
some more work for you to do when we finish this podcast.
Yeah, I'll go back through my story. See, I've often written developer and publisher, I think, but sometimes I've just said developer. But that might be accurate, so I don't know. Hey.
Well, perhaps the problem only stems from the games that they developed or something.
I think that's the case, but I'm not sure which ones they had bought with stolen credit cards this particular time.
Is there a demo of the new System Shock remaster thing?
Yeah, there is somewhere. I think you have to back it on Kickstarter, maybe? But I don't know if the Kickstarter's launched yet.
I'm seeing it on GOG for free.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
I've just added it to my cart, and I'm trying to check out now.
I looked for it on because the Steam page for it went up. This is Night Dive's System Shock reboot remake thing. Excellent.
I've sent you a link, Peter.
Hooray. Probably play that.
I'm to pay for my order now. It's free.
What a bargain.
Order successfully completed.
This is going to be good because it's going to be System Shock with proper mouse controls. So that alone is worthwhile. It's going to have nice new graphics.
There was an amazing piece on the internet which tried to ascertain the exact nature of System Shock's protagonist based on all the weird physics things that he could do.
Right.
Like, I think they discovered that he was probably a tentacle monster with sort of 11-foot-long arms that had no bones in them and very weak muscles because they couldn't stretch over gaps, but he could reach stuff that was really far away from him.
He's just been mutated a lot from his time in space. Okay, that's all that's happened there.
Apologies for typing. I'm totally trying to find this article. Yeah. Or at least remind myself that...
I can put it in the show notes if...
I'll try and find it a bit later on. It is great.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Get everyone play that System Shock demo. It's probably good. I'm gonna.
It might not be.
If it's shit, that'll be a really disappointing. Actually.
Well, you'll just have to go and play, you know, System Shock instead.
Or System Shock 2. Which.
Or both. Because maybe they're both quite good games that are a bit different.
That's true. That is true. You've played the Technomancer this week, Tim.
I have.
Starring Melvin Mancer. Well, not starring, maybe.
No.
Starring Alvin Mancer.
It does have Melvin Mancer and Alan Mancer and
Alvin.
Sean Mancer.
Alvin's a chipmunk. I'm mistaken.
And it has Walter from Fringe.
It's not actually his voice actor, though, is it?
It's not. Shit, I can't think of his name.
He's famous-ish as well. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yes, I'm sure. I think his surname is Noble.
He was in Batman: Arkham Knight as Scarecrow. I think.
John Noble.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway,
that was worthwhile. So John Noble confirmed not for Technomancer. But he is in Arkham Knight, if you want to risk
the PC. He's also rumoured to not be in Star Citizen.
I've got a hot tip from the Isle of Man. Definitely not in Star Citizen. Right, so the Technomancer.
Yes. Have you played any of the other RPGs by Spiders Software?
No.
The only thing that
is even close is Styx, the stealth game, which the character from Styx was in Of Orcs and Men, which is a Spiders RPG, but Styx itself was not made by Spiders. It was made by Cyanide, I think.
Oh, God.
They did Orcs and Men, Bound by Flame, Mars Warlogs.
I heard very bad things about Mars Warlogs, but I'm now suddenly quite interested in Bound by Flame.
Right. This is supposedly better than Bound by Flame, though. Okay. Like I think even in the reviews that don't like this much, they've said it's better than Bound by Flame. So,
in fairness, I didn't like it much, but I also didn't dislike it. It was one of those games that is almost painfully average.
Well, you kind of call it a B movie game.
Yeah,
which pretty much. Yeah,
it's a bit cheesy. It's got a lot of things that don't quite work. It's sort of like if BioWare tried to do one of their regular scope games with a team of like six people.
Right.
I suspect Spiders is bigger than that, but you know, hyperbole.
But clearly they have budgetary restrictions as opposed to someone like BioWare.
Yes. Yes, it's got a fairly interesting premise. It's set on Mars after some mysterious solar event has caused Mars to get completely cut off from the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
No communications or anything, and going out into the sun results in you frying to a crisp because solar radiation has intensified significantly. So everyone on Mars is part of the corporations, which are big water groups. Water corporations fighting over water, as you would expect. They're sort of the most powerful institutions, the governments. So you're a soldier for one of those corporations. You are a technomancer who is a human being with mysterious powers of being able to chuck lightning from their fingertips.
Is that the technomancer thing? Are they all electric people?
Yes. And,
okay, right.
And there are reasons behind this. I wouldn't necessarily say they're good reasons, and they are revealed within about the first 20 minutes of the game, so it's probably not a spoiler, but, you know.
Sure.
Your corporation decides that it doesn't like technomancers anymore, because the technomancers are hiding a secret, which is the thing that you learn in the first 20 minutes of the game. And as your corporation is basically run by the Gestapo, this results in you being declared an outlaw and all the other technomancers being rounded up and you having to go and flee out into the Martian wasteland and so on and so forth.
Is the secret just that they've got some gloves with some batteries in?
No.
Okay. That's confirmed.
I could probably just say what it is, to be perfectly honest.
What's the big secret?
It's within like 20 minutes of the game. They're mutants. Mutants are a thing on Mars, thanks to all the increased solar radiation and so on. It's just that they're generally sort of the more scarred, deformed monstrosities that you would expect from literature, whereas the technomancers are... that appear to be sort of intentional mutations. That's the big secret that the technomancers are protecting, is that they're all mutants. That would obviously result in a bit of a downgrade in their stock if people found this out, because mutants are horribly discriminated against.
Right. They should go for cheap
slave labor and so on.
They should form their own party and lobby for legislation to improve the lot of mutants.
Clearly, which is actually one of the other plot lines within the game, is that there is a free mutant nation of escaped mutants who are kind of trying to build their own country. It's an action RPG. You fight in real time. You have your powers, but you're mostly focused on sort of dodging or blocking based on which particular combat style you're employing at the time. And you bash people in the face with a staff or a mace or a knife. You sort of fight your way around Mars, fighting about 10 different enemies over and over again.
It did sound a bit like you were having to revisit a lot of these fights. Just due to the nature of the quests, that are like, go over here. The same enemies that you fought last time are going to be there again, so have fun with that.
Pretty much. I mean, the enemies do kind of upgrade between chapters to scale your party, but I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. Because you get a few new locations, but you're also regularly going back to the same ones as well. On the one hand, it would be quite nice to just totally breeze through some of the earlier encounters sort of when you reach chapter 4. It's like, oh, I remember this bit from chapter 1. I'm kicking the shit out of these guys. No, they've all been upgraded. They're fucking super soldiers now.
Right, yeah.
Which makes sense from a story point of view, but it's not very satisfying from a gameplay point of view, because it's pretty much the same enemies, only they do more damage and have more health. The combat starts off being quite fun. It's sort of an interesting twist on sort of the action RPG combat. It's a little bit more focused on the action than the RPG,
right?
And that sort of timing is very, very important and so on. It's also reasonably Assassin's Creed or Batman-ish, in that you kind of need to dodge at the right time, and you're usually dealing with 7 or 8 enemies.
Well, you're sort of stood in the middle, and then They're like, oh, this one's coming at you. What are you going to do?
Kind of. It doesn't highlight this, though.
Okay, all right.
It gives no highlighting, and it can be a bit of a problem, because quite regularly you'll have one stood at the back with an assault rifle or something like that shooting at you. So
right.
you do need to continually be on the defensive.
Okay.
And, you know, they are more than happy to block you into a corner and stun lock you if you get unlucky and so on and so forth, which I actually prefer to the Assassin's Creed thing, not least because this has a really fast quick save and quick load function. So even if you do get completely screwed in a fight, you can start it over pretty much instantly. Yeah, the combat unfortunately gets really boring quite quickly. Because there isn't a great deal of variety to it, and you start to work out how to exploit it to your own ends. Mm. Like, for instance, pretty much every human enemy, you can only attack them so many times before they will counterattack. And what they will do is you will attack them, and then they will dodge backwards. And then if you attack them again, they will automatically dodge that attack and attack back.
Right.
So what you do is you continually attack them until they do that, and then immediately hit the dodge button, and then start hitting them again.
Right.
It just lots and lots of little things like that, which turn it into a bit of an exercise in repetition.
And not just, I mean, to a degree, there's always going to be like pattern recognition in action RPG stuff, but it sounds quite simplistic and obvious.
I've railed against like The Witcher 3's combat because did so much of it. But you know, it probably took me about 20 hours to get tired of that, whereas this game lasts 20 hours.
How soon did you get tired of the combat in this, would you estimate? Out of that 20 hours?
Four or 5 hours, maybe?
Right.
A bit longer. Yeah. It's a bit hard to judge.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's not binary. It's not like, I'm enjoying this. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. I'm enjoying this a bit less now.
I was playing it in fairly long stints, and there were bits, like, towards the beginning, there were a couple of extended bits where I was off doing a couple of fetch quests that were nowhere near any sort of enemy encounters, and so it was like, oh, I'd actually quite like to have another go at the combat now. It kind of differs. The thing that kept me going, oddly enough, was the premise and the characters and so on and so forth, which I hesitate to say are good. Entertaining, certainly.
So I've seen, weirdly enough, I've seen reference to Alpha Protocol with this game. Now, that can mean many different things, and I suspect what they mean is it's janky as hell, but you might still really enjoy it, rather than it's all about choice and consequence and stuff. I presume. Like, is that in any way a good comparison? Like, it keeps coming up, so I've seen this in a few reviews.
Weirdly. I wouldn't liken it to Alpha Protocol solely because I really like Alpha Protocol, and Alpha Protocol has done stuff with choice that I don't think any game, short of maybe Way of the Samurai in a very different way, has ever rivaled.
It doesn't seem mechanically like Alpha Protocol at all. So I presume they're meaning it's a bit broken, but you could still enjoy it.
Yes, it does kind of have some similarities insofar as you do have things like you've got the stealth option. You've got your various different types of combat tree that you can level up to dictate how you approach the encounters, although that doesn't make a huge difference. It does have choice, and it does capitalize on that a lot better than I thought it would. It individually tracks your reputation. You can see this at any time, but it tracks your reputation with each of the game's factions. So you've got like the citizens of your home corporation and the army of your home corporation. You've got the shady underground criminal syndicate, and you've got the other cities, how much they like you, and so on and so forth. And you've also got your karma meter based on how many people you've horrifically murdered and drained of their fluids to sell, because that's currency. I'm assuming that is essentially like draining the water out of their body.
I was
going to
say, is that you're getting there, that you can then synthesize that to water and then sell it. So therefore,
I mean, it's the currency is called serum, and knowing that, you know, it's about the the corporations are based around water, and that is the scarce resource. I'm assuming that it's got something to do with that, but...
Let's hope so. Otherwise, that's just weird.
Yeah. but no, it does do a few things with choice, but nothing nearly so extensively as Alpha Protocol. I mentioned in the review, like, the majority of Chapter 3 kind of capitalizes on the choices you've made before.
Right.
You need to go around to the... Without wishing to spoil, you do need to go around to the various factions and try to get some assistance. And based on how you've treated them in the past and who you've chosen to side with in earlier quests, one of the quests in Chapter 1, the local crime syndicate goes, hey, there's this shipment of weapons that's going out to your soldiers on the front lines. We'd quite like those. So you can go to your quartermaster and you can say, basically, look, I need to escort these weapons to the train station to make sure they get them.
Right.
And once you get them, you can then choose to take them to the train station, or you can go and give them to the criminal syndicate, and this will impact your standing with the factions. Which, like I say, doesn't have a great impact on things, but it does... When you take all of your choices into account, it will have an impact on things.
That sounds a little bit like, I don't know, the later Fallout games, I guess. Like New Vegas or possibly Fallout 4, I haven't played that one. But
it does. I mean, I don't know quite how varied the choices are, because I didn't play through it twice, but there are some that seem way more far-reaching. Again, one of the quests you have in Chapter 1 is you get assigned to hunt down the head of the resistance movement within your corporation. And you find them, and they're putting a bomb on a train or something along those lines. And you discover that actually the bomb isn't going to kill anybody. It's basically a protest thing. You have the option. You've been ordered to kill this person.
It's one of those. It's one of those really well-intentioned fake bombs.
I can't remember the specifics of it, but you basically.
I don't think they thought this through. Whoever planned this.
I can't remember. It's something. It's something like the bomb is actually going to destroy a chemical weapons shipment or something like that. I cannot remember what.
Oh, right,
it is.
It's not actually going to hurt anyone. It's going to make some sort of statement against blowing up material resources, rather. Okay,
it's something all along those lines. Like I say, this is right at the start of the game, and
he's a freedom fighter, not a terrorist.
Essentially, that's the thing.
She is a freedom fighter, not a terrorist.
But yeah, you basically get the option. You can choose to let her go but disable the bomb, let her go, or you can actually arrest her or kill her. You know, she becomes a prominent character later on. Not hugely, she does have involvement in quest lines and offers up a few quests later on once you become a rebel.
That is quite BioWare Mass Effect-y, isn't it? I remember a few characters in Mass Effect where you could possibly kill them. And if you killed them, then they would have... Like, they would still show... They'd get, like, a stand-in who would show up later, generally.
I don't know whether that would happen or whether it would just basically cut you out of that quest line. I mean, I would imagine, for instance, that if you kill off the head of the Resistance... you're probably going to have a tough time going and meeting with the Resistance and asking them for help later.
Going, let's be friends.
Yeah. But as I say, it's hard to say without having played through a second time. Like I say, it does things with choice that I actually found quite pleasing. The entirety of Chapter 3. And the fact that when you finish the game, you get a big Fallout-style overview of the choices you made and how that impacted the future of Mars.
That's cool. Always like to see that.
Yeah, I've missed that. I haven't seen BioWare do that for fucking ages.
They retroactively added it to Mass Effect 3, didn't they? Kind of.
Yeah.
When everyone was like, this is a bit shit, BioWare.
This has got a better ending than Mass Effect 3.
Well, yeah, but... there are unfinished films who have better endings than the original ending in Mass Effect 3, so it's maybe not saying much.
I'm not one of the people who thought the original ending to Mass Effect 3 was that terrible, but it wasn't a good ending.
I don't think it's a human atrocity or anything, but no, it wasn't a good ending. It was a bit kind of like, we don't really know what to do here.
It was a bit of a cop-out, and in fairness, the Technomancer's final chapter is quite short and does feel a little unfinished. Now, that might just be because review code, the build that I'm playing, is like 3 weeks old.
Sure.
And I know as far as I know, it hasn't been updated, the review build, but I know that they have been fixing some of the bugs that reviewers found.
Is it out today or?
It should be out right now.
Okay, right.
There we go. Yeah, as I say, I kind of liked it. It's the sort of thing where it's not good exactly. It's a bit tedious, it's a bit repetitive, but I enjoyed it enough that I would be interested in sort of seeking out some of their other outputs if it's around this level of quality.
Yeah.
It's the sort of cult RPG.
There's a definite thing for B games. Like there was one by the guys who made Tropico Haymamont. They did like a Templar the First Knight or something that I reviewed ages ago. You know, that was kind of a similar thing. It's like, all right, you guys are clearly on a budget here. This isn't amazing, but it's all right. It's got something to it. That wasn't so much an RPG. That was more of just a straight hack and slash with some dungeons that had pseudo puzzles in them and stuff.
It's one of those things where it's the sort of I hesitate in a review to say, oh, you should probably buy this when it's on sale. I hate saying stuff like that. You know, it's decent. I can't really say it's better than that. It's got a certain janky charm to it. I quite enjoyed it. I don't imagine I will play it again anytime soon, but like I said, I'm now quite curious to try out of Orcs and Men and Bound by Flame, just to see how they compare.
From what I've read, their RPGs have been improving, so that maybe suggests the earlier ones are not so hot. But it's good. Good that they're getting better each time.
That actually gives me some hope for whatever they do next.
Maybe the next one's going to be good. Instead of like quite good but not amazing.
It never strays into the territory of being good, but I don't think there was ever a point where I thought, oh, this is fucking rubbish, except during the first chapter, which, as mentioned, is fucking rubbish.
Right. Why is that? Is that just it's establishing too much stuff in a kind of a boring way? Characters just aren't interesting at that stage? Or
a bit of both. You get, the first two party members are both horrifically boring soldier guys. You're introduced to a load of characters you have no reason to care about. It doesn't actually give much exposition on the way things are. You're asked to make moral choices when you have no idea of what the stakes are or the consequences.
Right. That's always interesting.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you need to go and, are you going to kill this guy or are you going to let him go free? And it's like, well, I've been ordered to kill him. But
I don't really know who he is.
I have no idea who he is or what my relationship is with my commanding officer or, you know, what the fuck. I don't know.
On that basis, you probably shouldn't kill him. Just because you're going to regret it otherwise, aren't you?
Probably. Although, considering your corporation's habit of, putting people into re-education camps, the alternatives maybe also not the best.
So maybe killing him is the merciful thing to do, yeah.
Although I'm fairly certain if you did kill him, you would lose karma, because you lose karma for killing anybody in this game, which is fucking hilarious when one enemy is mandated to die. And it's implied that at the end of the fight, after you drain their health to zero, they have a heart attack and die of natural causes.
Well, that's convenient or inconvenient,
I'm sort of hoping that differs if you have like a really low karma, but I think I'd only killed one person throughout the entire game at that point, because the only advantage, other than lowering your karma, which may do something, the only advantage to killing people is getting a bit more cash. And I was never really hurting for cash, so
yeah. It's just trying to tell you, Tim, that sometimes when you go around beating up a whole lot of people, sometimes they're going to have underlying conditions that mean they just die from their injuries.
I actually thought it was fairly interesting. This is like an action RPG in which you don't kill people unless you actually go out of your way to do so. You just knock them unconscious. Maybe this was my mistake. Maybe if I do kill the guards at the checkpoints and so on, they won't respawn.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, because they're... Yeah, I don't know. But then you said they come back as, like, leveled up and stuff.
Well, so. Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, they'll be replaced in a later chapter or something.
By people who look identical to them, but they're definitely different. Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't... I hold my hands up. I did not test the murder respawn mechanics thoroughly.
I think that's fine. I don't think that can be held against you too much.
Some fucker will. You know they will. This is the internet.
I can't believe you didn't play this 20-hour RPG three times to see every single ending and every single outcome of every choice and consequence. Well, there's a reason for that. Because it would have taken a long time.
Mm-hmm. Once was enough. I have no intention. Like, after I finished Mass Effect 2, I think I wanted to go back and play that again almost immediately. With this, I doubt I will play it again. Possibly ever. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's pretty rare for me to really want to go back and
there's play. A lot of games out there, you know?
So yeah. I mean, there are games I play again, like Deus Ex and Psychonauts and Dungeon Master inevitably and so on and so forth. But I'm happy I finished it, but I have no great desire to go back and play it again.
Sure. I haven't played anything new since last week. It's not been a great busy week for reviews. I guess I could have played Mighty Number 9, hypothetically, if I tried to get a review copy. No.
Didn't you play Resident Evil Umbrella?
Umbrella Core.
Yeah.
To an extent, although it came... a bug with AMD drivers. I know, shocking. But no, hear me out. Right, preamble. AMD drivers have got a lot better than they used to be. Like, they actually put them out very regularly now. However, there is one bug hanging around and has been persistently for a few months now since they switched to Crimson, where with the card I have, and some others, I think, occasionally the screen will... the driver will crash and not recover, and you'll just lose any DVI input to your monitor, so you basically got to reset the whole machine, which is great. I hadn't had this bug for like 4 or 5 months in anything, but it came back in Umbrella Core, so it was pretty difficult to play it because this would just happen after 10 minutes, maybe 15 if I was lucky. This would always happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. It is a driver bug. And we know it is, because if you switch back to the Catalyst ones rather than the Crimson ones, I believe it makes it go away. But then you're playing with ancient drivers, so you don't want to be doing that, really. I managed to play it enough to figure out that the mouse controls were fucking atrocious. because they were trying to be a gamepad, as far as I could tell, which was awful. And it ran okay. Didn't have a whole load of graphics options, but it had a few. The FOV was appalling. The little, oh, I say little, the big soldier man takes up about 40% of the screen at all times. But
that is,
I can't really
that is
comment.
Fairly Resident Evil.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that.
But that was fairly Resident Evil specifically because that was kind of meant as a tension increasing thing. Like, you didn't actually need it. You didn't need the screen real estate so much, and it was there to constantly give you the sense that there was something you couldn't see threatening you.
I'm not sure that's the case here, unless... See, the thing is, I haven't really played the multiplayer, which is the focus of it, which is why I'm not really confident commenting on what the game is like as a whole. Because the main thing is the multiplayer. The single player's rubbish. You just wander around shooting zombies, collecting DNA things until it goes, well done, you've got enough, good job. And then you play another level where the same thing happens. multiplayer is different. It's like 3-on-3, and I don't know much else about it because I couldn't play it for more than about 5 minutes, and then it started feeling like this is a bit unfair because I'm never going to be able to complete a match, and that's just going to piss people off. And yeah, well, the other problem with it is that the player base is like 200 people on PC, which, yeah, not great really for a multiplayer game. So yeah,
you don't have much to say about this.
Not really. It's a bad PC port. Maybe the multiplayer is good. I don't know.
Isn't it entirely multiplayer?
It's not entirely multiplayer. It's only about 95% multiplayer. No, it has a single player campaign. I won't hear a word against that. And it's got a training mode, which is just, you know, a tutorial. And it's got really lousy mouse controls. There we go. So even if the multiplayer is good, it's going to be shit to play on a mouse. So that's not good, is it? It's not good having a shooter on PC where the mouse is rubbish. It's got auto-aim options, for Christ's sake. That's never a good sign.
That seems almost illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
In the brave new PC invasion future, that will be a crime punishable.
Absolutely. It's a crime against humanity, putting all the way. Yeah. Basically, they want you to use a controller, is the message I got from that game. So, yeah, that's all. I think I'll be reviewing Playdead next game, The Limbo Guys Inside. That's out.
Warn me if that's got a giant spider in it, will you?
I will. That's out pretty soon, tomorrow maybe, even on really? Xbox Shit. One. Only on the bone. The PC version's in early July. But apparently I will be getting a PC key for that. So sometime, probably on the day it comes out, maybe the day before if I'm lucky. Who knows? But otherwise, I played a bit of The Witcher 3. That was quite good.
That is quite good. I genuinely believe that game is quite good, despite what the internet keeps claiming.
You gave it an 8. That's a good score.
Apparently it's not, Peter. It's not.
Right. Yeah, I forgot. It's a bit tricky, though, because the last time I played The Witcher 3 was about 6 months ago, so I was mostly just wandering around, riding around on the horse, going, what am I doing? Where the hell am I in any of these quest lines? What's happening? Oh, look, the inventory's completely changed since I last played this game. For the better.
I had this problem whenever I kind of went back into it to check out the DLC or the expansions or what have you. Not in the sense of not being able to remember what I was doing. That too at times, but mostly
it's helpful
because I couldn't remember how to play. I'd get into a fight against a fucking Necker or something really terrible, and I would die.
I just found some really low-level wolves to practice on. All right, okay, that's dodge. Right, okay, that's a heavy swing. This is my signs. All right, yeah. I get this now. What else have I played? Some FIFA 16. Chemistry or no, I've been playing FIFA 16. Played a bit of PES even, because they had the European Cup licensed stuff. So I played some European Cup stuff in PES. Yeah, there you go. That was alright. Shit graphics aside, that game plays quite well on PC.
I'm trying to think if I played anything else much over the past time. I kind of haven't, really.
We've recorded for an hour, so you don't have to. Don't force it.
I did wander back in, briefly, and play a bit of Warframe, if you remember that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Fucking hell, that's changed a lot.
Well, yeah, I would imagine even more so than The Witcher 3, I would imagine. What do you do in that game now? Are you still space ninjas, or has that changed?
You're still a cyborg space ninja, although
that's good.
I've only done one mission that's in space, the rest were all on planets.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is a bit different, because back when we played it, everything was in space.
I think they were all on the same station.
The same rooms and tile sets repeated over and over. I've been everywhere, mate.
I remember that was the big news. That was the big news a few months after release. Oh, we're getting a new tile set.
Yeah.
So planets and stuff, eh?
I found it incredibly confusing. Like, it's got a new tutorial which slowly takes you through all of the features and stuff, which is quite nice.
Good.
But it's like, I've got immediate access to sort of the global chat channels, and as with every sort of MMO style game, everything that involves other players and the trading and stuff, oh my god, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Can you switch me a flibbly jib for the noogly bloob?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I don't know what that means. Is anyone planning on doing this? Maybe.
I don't know. Is that good? Can I do that at level 2? Probably not. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely a game that still exists.
It's got a slightly higher barrier to entry than it used to.
Yeah, that's kind of put me off it a little bit, if I'm honest with you.
And that's always going to be a problem with a game like that, where they've added so much to it.
Well, it's not just that, but it's like it's the fact that, like, because it's got sort of the real world currency thing, and you start with some real world currency, and it's like, well, if I spend that on the wrong thing, I'm fucked.
Yeah, good point.
I know. I confess, I mostly got back into this because in the Steam sale, I saw that they had like all the Warframe starter packs and all that shit on sale, and all the reviews for those basically say these are fantastic value for money, but only if you buy them on sale.
Right. Okay.
They give you stuff that is way really better than what you would be able to get on the marketplace and so on. And so forth.
Unless you grind for 300 years.
Yeah. So I was sort of thinking, okay, you know what? I'll play it for. I'll see how it is, you know, if it's good, if it suckers me in, because Hearthstone's managed to pull me back in at the moment, you know, I've been playing Overwatch and so on and so forth, I might, and maybe I'll pick up one of the £10 packs or £7 packs or whatever it is, and you know, and enjoy myself a little bit. And yeah, that was how I got back into it, and I'm so confused.
Yep.
But on the plus side, I can, like, slide along the ground and shoot an alien in the face with a bow.
That was always the great thing. When it was new, that was the great thing about Warframe, that you actually were a samurai ninja cyborg robot spaceman.
Double jumping and wall running and sliding improbable distances on your knees while aiming behind you and shooting.
Great. It's got a bit of a... in a very different style, but a bit like how Superhot makes you feel like the coolest person ever. It's got a similar kind of, like, wow, look what I'm doing, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Unlike Umbrella Corps, in which you're a giant man lumbering around corridors with terrible animations.
Is it Umbrella Corps or is it Umbrella Corp? Because it is obviously the Umbrella Corp erasure.
So at the beginning of the game, it's got a lady voice.
Have I accidentally dragged us into a conversation about Resident Evil lore? Because this is a pit from which we may never escape.
I don't know anything about Resident Evil lore. It's
way too much about Resident Evil lore.
I'm not going to be holding up any kind of... like, the scales are tipped massively towards you. All I'm going off is that there's a lady at the start of this game who I think says Umbrella Core.
Okay.
She may be just very quietly pronouncing the P and I'm missing it every time. But... or maybe she's just wrong. Maybe they gave the voice actor bad direction.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe she's actually saying, like, Umbrella Core.
Maybe that's what she was supposed to say. But it doesn't come out like that. It's
very,
it's
very more... British.
Yeah. I've remembered something else that I played. I played the Marrakesh level in the Hitmans.
Oh, right. Am I mad and wrong about that? Like, you're mad about Absolution?
I don't know, because I only played it once, so I don't feel like I can I see where you're coming from in terms of the map design. Because I think the main marketplace bit is very good. And feels, you know, has the kind of this is a living place feel to it.
It's just that it also doesn't feel connected to any of the other areas, and the main marketplace doesn't have a great deal to do.
Yeah, which is interestingly, like their bonus missions that they're doing in July, one of those is going to be nighttime at the marketplace, so I think they are going to use that more. Ooh, for that sounds, one.
That does sound interesting.
Yeah.
Although I quite like the elusive contracts they've had so far. The one,
me too.
The one in the church was pretty good.
Yep, I played that one. That was quite tricky, but good.
Yeah.
I succeeded at it, but poorly. That's kind of been my experience.
The other one, what was the other one? Oh, the other one was a guy visiting dignitary who was wandering. He was being given a tour around the mansion.
Yeah, I didn't do that. He was the sort of senator, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I accidentally bugged out his AI by incapacitating his tour guide while him and his guards went out for a smoke or something, and then they came back, and because there was no one around to lead them to the next location, they just stood there forever.
So what did you do then? Just like lob an explosive at them or snipe him and run away?
No, I kept trying to sort of distract them and then pick them off one by one. Like, I would get them into sort of one at a time. I was trying to get them into the little side room I was hiding in, flick a coin to get someone to investigate, and then I'd knock them out and stuff them in a trunk, and then to try and do it again to get the next person in.
Quality. That's all the pro assassins do.
it mostly worked. Much like my approach to the mission in the church with the evil priest mostly worked.
For that one, I waited until he was in the church itself. I had a disguise. At first, I was disguised as one of the people working in the church. Then I got a disguise. I think I got bodyguard disguise from a guy who was at the very top of the tower because he seemed pretty isolated. I reckon I could take him out without anyone noticing. So I nabbed his stuff. Waited for the priest to be in the church, the main church area, and I was on the sort of balcony above, and I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to shoot him from here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to run away up the tower, because you can hang on the ledge, and I thought, right, I'll be able to go on the ledge and then like drop down to the rooftops and then get down from off the rooftops. Yeah, you can't get down from off the rooftops. or if you can, I could not figure it out. So then I had to rather embarrassingly like climb back up into the tower. Sneak back down past the scene of my crime.
Man, that's like an Absolution cutscene.
Find another way out. Yeah, see, Absolution was actually accurate. It's just it wasn't in canon with 47 himself. It was in canon with inept players like me.
I got away, damn it.
So
I think I've been doing all the elusive contracts, incidentally, by starting in the default starting location. I haven't been, you know, starting off as a disguised person in the kitchens or something. That feels a bit like cheating.
I think I started in the safe room in Sapienza for the church guy, mostly because I thought, well, that's closer to the church.
Yeah, that's...
by, like, 2 minutes.
That's fair enough. I mean, you weren't, like, starting in the morgue with a morgue disguise or something.
No. You're right.
I think I went in through the morgue and I took out some of the bodyguards that were hanging around in the graveyard and sort of dragged them into the morgue, and I kept hiding on the slab in the morgue.
Right, yes.
That's great.
Yep.
And I spent ages trying to think of a way to separate him from his guards and kill him off. And I think I managed to separate him from... He had two guards walking around with him, I think.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I managed to separate him from one of them and knock him out. But the other one I couldn't get rid of, and everyone else was getting suspicious because, like, there is always someone around who can see through sort of the church disguise or the...
Yeah.
So what I wound up doing was, when he went down the stairs into sort of the basement...
I walked
down behind him and shot both him and his guard in the head with a silence pistol, and then fucking legged it through the sewers out to the docks, and their bodies were just discovered as I made it to the speedboat.
Nice. That's a shame, because then you'll lose some points for that, I guess. But
I don't really give a toss.
No, me either. Like, for me, it's just about, like, can I pull this off without being killed?
Really. Pretty much.
Like, I don't... really care if I bungle it. In fact, that's funnier.
Yes, it is.
And since you only have one shot, you know.
Yeah. I'm perfectly satisfied with, like, doing it, but not doing it expertly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like the elusive contract.
Yeah, they seem to be working well. But yeah, I'm interested in these extra missions that they're doing too. I like the sound of the Sapienza one where they're filming a B-movie, funnily enough, like a sci-fi. Oh, nice. Sci-fi B-movie, and the guy I think you have to kill is... he's like the director, writer, and actor, or whatever. And he's basically... He's kind of like an Iron Man. He's in a kind of Iron Man suit running away from this giant alien thing.
From what you've said, because I haven't read up on this, I heard that they got leaked. Sounds like
they've announced
kind of,
them now.
This sounds like they're kind of changing the maps around a little bit.
They're certainly refocusing where the main target is. Like, this Sapienza one isn't going to use the mansion much, I don't think.
Well, yeah, but I mean, presumably, like, if he's running away from a giant alien monster or something, if there is stuff going on, then it presumably means there is going to be a mild element of redesign in terms of there being a set or something.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of, like, burning things in the street, and you know, it's set up to look like the street's been destroyed by the aliens and stuff like that.
That the Marrakesh one is set sort of at night and so on and so forth. It sounds like they're doing things a bit different rather than the ones we've seen so far, which are basically it's the exact same level, but there's a different guy and some guards have changed places.
And that
sounds quite interesting. This is actually the first month, I think, since launch that we're not getting a new episode, isn't it?
Yes. When did Marrakesh come out? Was that the end of last year? Last month? Yeah.
That was May. Yes.
Yeah, we won't get one this month. There'll be these extra ones in July.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess they're then also going to take August off. And then they'll do September, October, November.
That's the sense I got was that it would be another sort of three episodes month by month. But that would be
And then if one slips, I don't know, maybe one will be December or something. But basically. It's working out all right, the whole episodic thing.
Yeah, still liking Hitman. Not quite so keen on Marrakesh, but it's not a bad level.
No, it's not. Frankly, it's not.
If this had managed every level being fucking as phenomenal as Paris and Sapienza, then I would have been astonished. Come on, every Hitman game has a duff level. Blood Money has about four of them.
Yes, it does. I mean, I guess, it's got greater quantity than this is going to have. Although by the end, it's going to have a few extra, map remixes and elusive contract stuff. So not too bad. Plus, then they've got a platform to just, if they fancy going like, oh, hey, we're doing some more episodes, there you go. Then they can do that.
I suspect they will do that. I would be very surprised if we don't hear about a season two sometime, probably early next year, sort of spring.
Unless it's absolutely bombed sales-wise, which I'm
certain it hasn't.
No, I don't think it has either.
I'm pretty sure it's been doing quite well for them.
Right. Good.
That'll do.
That'll do. Yeah. Let's bring this podcast to a close. Thanks for listening. Keep reading PCInvasion.com. It's a good website written.
It's mostly
by
a good
people.
Website. We do occasionally have some total guff on there.
Look, right. Just because you don't like some of my articles.
Oh, I was referring to my Technomancer review. Sorry, do you think this is about you?
All right, I think everything's about me.
Fucking narcissist.
I will absolutely cop to writing some guff on there sometimes. Look, if you're a games writer, that's just inevitable. There will be a percentage of absolute shite that you write at some point during your career. However, I think there's a relatively high percentage of good and interesting things that people will like to read. So,
yes.
And hey, at least we're honest.
PC Invasion, we have a pretty good percentage of stuff that's not shit.
Look, if that is that's something good to aspire to, I think.
Hey, honesty.
We're not sugarcoating it. So yeah, we'll leave it up to you to decide which are the good pieces on which are the bad ones. It's a fun game you can play. Yeah, right, good. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
And silent, under the dawn of that last great day.
Maggie Thatcher, can you hear me? Maggie Thatcher, your boys took a hell of a beating. Your boys took a hell of a beating. Say, Maggie Thatcher.